ladies and gentlemen. I'm Joe Dighton.
And I'm Mike Grant.
And you're listening to the GD Podcast, an informal but insightful conversation about sports, pop culture, beer, and the like. Follow us on Twitter at the GD Podcast or shoot us an email at the GD Podcast at gmail.com. Today, Mike and I talk a little bit of World Cup. We'll take a look at some of the transactions as NHL free agency period has started. Talk a little Bryce Harper and Johnny Manziel. We'll recap or give our final thoughts on Game of Thrones, as well as talk Transformers Age of Extinction in the Pop Culture Corner. And Mike will take us home with Mike's Beer Blast. Mike, how's it going, man?
Good, man. Glad we can be doing this weekend.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, did you have a good fourth?
Yeah, fantastic. It was nice and relaxing. Everyone was worried it was going to rain, but it cleared up and it was actually a beautiful weekend.
It was
still beautiful today. A little bit hotter today, but still really nice.
Yeah, the last couple of days were absolutely beautiful. You're right, no humidity. It was just great to be outside. And it's always nice when the fourth falls on a Friday.
Oh, yeah. Fantastic.
Yeah, it makes it so much easier to to plan and stuff like that.
Oh, it's the worst when it's a Wednesday.
Yes, I agree. It was funny. I want to say it was Mike Greenberg on ESPN, I think, kind of proposed just saying Independence Day, and it's just like it's the first Friday in July, rather than make it. We all know 4th of July, but just call it Independence Day like it is, and just make it like that, so that way you can always have a 3-day weekend.
Yeah. Why will we not do that?
Yeah, because we do the same thing. Like Memorial Day is always on that last month or that fourth Monday, so mm-hmm. May. So I'd be up for that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So speaking of the good old U.S. of A., with the World Cup going on, unfortunately the U.S. run ended earlier this week against Belgium. It's funny if you just look at the score and saw, oh, they lost 2-1 in overtime. Think, oh, it was a good game, but I thought, for me at least, I felt it was like all Belgium pretty much the whole time. I don't know about you.
Yeah, definitely. They were definitely pressing a majority of the game, but the U.S. had their chances too. I feel like it's one of those. I felt like I was watching a Caps game where they just dominate the entire time, but still end up losing 4-2 for some odd reason.
Yeah,
it's because other teams got those. That's all you need, you know. Couple random presses, get a couple goals, and it doesn't matter if you've been dominated the whole game.
Exactly.
And it's so frustrating, too, when that happens. But, yeah, the whole soccer thing, it's really exciting to go out to a bar and watch it with friends, and people get really amped up about soccer. And I always can tell myself I'm totally going to become a soccer fan because it's pretty exciting. But, you know, now that we're a week removed from it, I could care less again.
Yeah, I know, yeah, and I always think about that. I always wonder what can hook people after the World Cup. I don't know if it's because here in the U.S., I don't know if just like MLS isn't that huge.
Yeah,
so that doesn't hook you in the whole time, and so
I think that's it. And then it's just a slower paced game, you know.
Yeah, I think it has a lot to do with it. There's not a lot of scoring. And I also thought about this that I think also our generation. We didn't grow up watching soccer on TV.
Yeah.
Like for me, I grew up playing soccer, but I didn't watch much of it on TV.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas other sports, like I grew up watching, baseball and football and basketball and other things. So whereas soccer is just, it's not much of a TV sport in this country, I think, is part of it.
Absolutely. That's definitely part of it too, I think.
Yeah. So that's, I'm with you. Like I know I always say, I'm going to watch more. And like, I'm going to watch, like I say it's closer to the World Cup next year. I'm going to watch the qualifying games and stuff like that. But unless there's not much else on, I just don't like set my schedules. I'm going to watch this World Cup qualifying game. I just don't do it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think, it was Jalen Rose. I saw him during the NBA draft. They're talking a little bit about the World Cup, and he made a good point. I think the reason people get amped up, it's for a lot of people, it's not the soccer, it's the patriotism that brings everyone together almost.
Yeah, it's the camaraderie in the bar, and everyone's excited for a unified team, so it's pretty exciting. Whereas you go to, a sports and NFL Sunday, you got opposing fans, whereas the entire bar is cheering for one team. It's pretty exciting.
Exactly, because I think we can also relate when the Hockey Olympics, you see a lot more uptick in hockey, at least this time around. I thought you saw a lot more people like interested in hockey during the Olympics.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And because people get excited for Team USA.
Yeah. And then when the Olympics are over, kind of, the NHL doesn't see much of an uptick in, like, ratings or anything once the Olympics are over. People are into it for that couple week stretch, but then that's pretty much it.
Yeah. And that's how I feel like soccer does is pretty similar in that sense.
Yeah, I agree. And the other thing about the game, I thought, I didn't hear this mentioned too much, but I thought, when Belgium scored an extra time, I thought the U.S. kind of put the press on a little bit too early, and that gave Belgium that second goal.
I thought, yeah, they were putting the press on there, and it seemed like they were getting a little winded, and you make one mistake and they'll kill you, and yeah, that's what happened.
And they scored that second goal, and that was pretty much it. Although, it was funny to follow on Twitter, everyone kind of like said, oh, game over, and then when they scored to make it 2-1, it's like, uh-oh, hold on.
My buddy and I were paying the tab at the bar, like, we were about to leave.
Yeah, uh-huh.
And then they scored, and we're like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
And then we hung around for a little bit, and then they tied it up, and now we couldn't believe it.
Yeah, because they had a couple good chances. I mean, they had that chance, I think Dempsey on the free kick almost tied it up late. They had a couple good chances to make it 2-2, which is, like, unheard of in soccer to fall behind 2-0 and extra time and then try to, so they really gave it a good shot.
Absolutely.
So yeah, no, it was fun. I mean, think back to, surprising when, that went over Ghana, and then I thought, and man, how close they came to beating Portugal that second game. That was unbelievable how, it's funny, that they blew that Portugal game at the last second, but they were still able to advance.
Yeah, that would have been a bummer if they couldn't advance, because that was unbelievable.
Yeah, and then it's kind of interesting to see, like, when people reacted after they lost to Germany and still advanced. People were like, oh, why are people happy that they lost? And like, well, it's not about the loss; it's about the fact that they're still moving on. I don't think people really grasped that concept, that people weren't celebrating the loss; they're celebrating the fact that they got to the round of 16.
Yeah, because we rarely do that.
Yeah, so I kind of compare it to, like, in football. Like, a lot of times, teams trying to get a playoff spot, and sometimes even though you lose, you still clinch.
Exactly.
So you're still going to celebrate even though you lost that you made the playoffs.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think sometimes there's just those anti soccer folks who just like to get people riled up, I think.
Oh, absolutely.
Because there's the you and me who are kind of in between. We cheer for the U.S. Then there's people who just can't grasp soccer at all, and the people who are really extreme about it, so.
Oh yeah.
And you see them butting heads about it, so it's just it's funny. People get protective of their favorite sports, so I can understand that. But
yeah,
it's good. But yeah, it was a good run. So yeah, I think that semifinals. I think Tuesday, Wednesday, and the final will be, I think, Sunday. So yeah, hopefully the U.S. grows from here. One last question about that. Were you, I forgot to ask, were you surprised that they left Donovan off the World Cup team?
I mean, honestly, man, I don't know that much about it. I was surprised because everybody else was.
Yeah.
I know he's been such a staple for the team, but they obviously made the decision for some reason.
Yeah, yeah.
And, I mean, I don't know. Would he have made a difference? One of my buddies said that the Belgium game, kind of how the game went, Donovan would have been a great fit for a game like that. So who knows? Who knows what would have happened?
Yeah, I heard that too, because I think there was the one play near the end where the guy launched it could have been the tying goal, he launched over the crossbar near the end.
Uh-huh.
Someone mentioned if Donovan's in that spot, he probably puts that ball away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I'm sure their coach was thinking more big picture. And like, you can't just think about situations like that. He's probably thinking big picture. Can someone else help the team more than him? So
absolutely.
So yeah, it's tough to second guess after, because you don't think in your head, oh, well, if the ball lands at the 6-yard line, we need Don there to kick it in.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So yeah,
I think they did good because they had their chances. It wasn't like they got blown out.
Exactly. Yeah.
They easily could have won that game. So It was nice to see them compete on such a high level.
Yeah, absolutely. I have to just give a big hats off to Tim Howard for keeping him in that game. He was unbelievable in goal in that Belgium game. That was
that was wild.
He made some great saves.
I just love how amped up he gets too.
Yes, that's awesome. You like to see that from your team leader. So some good times there. So we'll move on to the NHL. It's funny to talk hockey in July, but July 1st, free agency kicks off. And it's just kind of like it's like a mad rush for all the free agents. And I saw the Caps. I think they brought on Orpik, I think, to kind of shore up the blue lines. That contract seemed
they did, man.
Yeah, that contract, I was a little surprised by the number of years and money, but I know defense, you've been talking about this for a while, that they've needed to kind of improve their blue line, so...
Yeah, they got him and Niskanen.
Yes, yes.
And paid a ton of money for both of them, yes. So I think that's the big question is did they overpay and will these guys perform? So... You know, we'll see what happens. You know, they're seeing Niskanen had some pretty good numbers last year. They're going to see if he can replicate that. And then can Orpik still be Orpik for another solid 3 to 4 years, even though he's getting old? I think he's 32 or 33, right?
I think he's over 30. So I think that was one thing, was like, you know, he's older and then he's signed him for 5 years. But a lot of times... they're signing these guys for the first couple of years. You're really trying to hope to get a couple of years, those early years in the contract.
Yeah.
And if they get...
Yeah, so we'll see. They haven't made big name pickups like that in a while. So it's kind of nice to see that. We'll see what happens, man.
Yeah, I kind of like your take on the kind of wait and see approach. A lot of times I think people react to signings too soon. That was a bad sign, but you really, I mean, you can't tell until they get on the ice, you know?
Yeah, exactly, you know?
I know the Rangers have made some moves, they let some guys go, you know, obviously, they bought out Brad Bridge, which didn't surprise me, but they let Brian Boyle go, he's going to Tampa, and they let Strawman go, and they brought in a couple other guys, Dan Boyle, which is, Rangers fans seem to be kind of, on the fence about, because he's like Orpik, he's older, but I think the thought is he can help anchor their power play, especially since Richards is gone, which has been a killer, especially in the finals. Rangers power play was just, you know, so inconsistent. I wasn't bummed about Boyle leaving as other people were, but I thought, you know, decent fourth line center. I think he wanted more of a role besides being a penalty killer, and, you know, just didn't work out. So
yeah,
that happens. And then like I said, a lot of Rangers fans are kind of up in arms about some of the moves they've made, especially, like I said, Dan Boyle's another aging guy. But like I said, I'm kind of with you. I like to kind of take a breath, wait and see. And, you know, and if obviously you hope it works out, but it's too tough to judge these moves until they're actually playing again.
Absolutely. You know, looking back, who would have thought that Ward would be as good as he's been for the Capitals? I mean, he's been incredible. He's supposed to be good, a serviceable player, but I think he's been outstanding. So, yeah, you never know how it's going to go. You know, a lot of times you'll get a player that you think is going to be okay, and they're fantastic, but it can go the other way around. So you just got to wait and see.
Yeah, and it's a lot more interesting to watch this now, since, you know, now the league has a salary cap, because these GMs have to be a little more creative as far as how they kind of manage this, you know, the cap, and you can't just, you know, write blank checks to these guys anymore. It's a lot more artistic these days.
Yeah, that's way better that way.
Yeah, it makes it more fair, and then B, it's, like I said, it's just interesting to watch these guys really truly, you know, be executives. So I know the Rangers have a few guys who filed for arbitration, so. That could get tricky, but yeah, you can't just give these guys whatever they want. It's you got to play within the boundaries of the salary cap.
Yeah,
yeah. So do you look when it comes to the fall sports and such, is hockey when you look most forward to, or more so football? What's your kind of your ranking there as far when like October rolls around?
You know, it used to be the Redskins were like everything to me, but then once I went to college, you know, Penn State every year is always what I get amped up for. So yeah. I go Penn State, Capitals, and then the Redskins.
That's what I figured. Yeah, I figured that was probably your ranking. Yeah.
So I'm super excited for Penn State. They're gonna have a tough year because their offensive line is gonna be a little rough, but. They still have close to the number one recruiting class in the country, which is insane to think about, because, you know, not two short years ago, they're in a very bad position. So, yeah, it's been really amazing to see, see what Franklin's been able to do over the off season.
Oh yeah.
And I think he's the real deal, man. I think he might be staying around for a while. I think it's his dream job. He's super passionate. He's got a great staff. And he's what Penn State needed, you know. Eventually this is the type of guy that they were gonna get once, you know, Joe Pa stepped down. I wish it happened a different way, but yeah. You know, that was the one thing that always lacked with Joe Pa in his later years was he just didn't recruit anymore. Yeah. You know, he didn't show up to living rooms and shake hands like he used to. And it just seems like Franklin's making all the right moves, saying all the right things, and I'm super excited to see what he can do on the field too.
Yes, absolutely. So, and it's funny to think that like September, October, this hockey, baseball, football stuff will be, before you know it, it'll be September already.
Yeah, I was going to say that when you brought it up. Yeah. It's like within a blink of an eye, you're watching it again, and it's just insane.
Yeah, so I'm excited. I'm looking forward to the fall times. I love when football comes back, and then in September, and then next thing you know, it's hockey season. So yeah, I'm pumped up for the fall. I'm not rushing somewhere long, but I'm definitely looking forward to hockey and football coming back. So that should be
good. Absolutely.
Yeah. And then speaking of baseball, I saw earlier this week, for us locally, you know, Bryce Harper comes off the DL, and you know, I think he got his first game back. He got batted six, was in left field, I think. And after the game, he talked about how he didn't really care for where he was in the lineup, and I think such and such should be here. I was kind of caught off guard by that, because you usually don't see players that vocal about, you know, the lineup, especially, you know, someone, you know, I know he's a superstar, but he's, you know, still young in the league, and he'd been out for the last 50 games or something. So what do you think? Do you think a player of certain stature kind of has that leeway, or do you think you should never call out your coach in public like that? Is that more of a closed door conversation, or how do you think about that? Do you think it depends on the player?
Yeah, I think it's just that it's a really touchy scenario, you know, because if you start doing that a lot, you turn into this, you know, behind closed doors, Bryce might be the coolest guy in the world and super nice dude. But when you start calling stuff out like that time and time again, I think it eventually starts pissing your teammates off and them asking themselves, who the hell is this guy? But, I mean, done once, he's obviously at the top of his game.
Yeah.
For guys to be that good, that's, you know, that's their mindset, and that's what they think, that, you know, they're the best, they should be in the best position all the time, and that's why the way they are. So, you know, one slip up like that, that's fine. I don't think it's a big deal. But if he were to continue to do that stuff, yeah, then I'd start calling him a punk and think that it could actually end up hurting him and the team. But I mean, this is kind of the first time I've heard him do something as vocal as this. So we'll see.
Yeah. I think he would have better served talking to Williams after the game about it, as opposed to letting it go through the press. But yeah, I think you're right. I mean, I think if it's a isolated incident, you can let it go. Cause even as good as he is, I don't think any player is above the team to be able to call out their coach in a media like that. So even though he's good, I don't think I would ever want, you know, like Jeter to do that, you know, or you know, the team superstars of my own team. So I can't imagine anyone else would want to either.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely agree with you. You know, I'm just taking that angle. If, you know, is it going to become a thing and a big deal? I don't think so. I understand why he did it, because, you know, the way he thinks.
Yes, yeah.
But I totally don't agree with it. But that's why he's a multi-million dollar baseball player and I'm not.
Yeah. Yeah, he's got that. He's definitely got that attitude about him that kind of, you know, I think the people at the top level at anything, I think, kind of have to have that arrogance about them, no matter what.
No, it's essential. There's no way you can be an elite athlete and not think that way.
Oh, yeah, because, I mean, I think even guys like Jordan, Kobe, Tiger, you know, all those guys, at some even outside of the, I think even guys in like the top of the business world all have some sort of arrogance like that. It's tough to be a non-type A and be that successful.
Oh, absolutely.
So yeah, I think I'm with you. As long as, you know, he can kind of, I'm sure the team talked about it, I'm sure. I would be surprised if it happened again, at least in the near future.
Yep.
So, yeah, so we'll see how that goes. But, yeah, because I know the Nats are happy to have him back because, you know, that division's going to be tight the rest of the way, I would think.
Yeah.
So we shall see. And then speaking of, you know, wild athletes, I know Mr. Johnny Manziel's been getting a lot of press lately for his parting and such, and I know the Browns management's asking to kind of tone it down. So when I saw the story, I was kind of going back and forth, like, if you know, if he's performing, does it really matter what he's doing off the field, or is it one of those things where, you know, you want to just make sure you don't want an incident to come up in the first place, which is better to be, you know, safe than sorry. Where do you think that, you know, teams kind of, where their rights are to kind of dictate what a guy does when he's not on the field?
You know, it's another really tough question. Yeah. You know, part of me wants to, he's a Browns employee.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think the Browns got a little bit of say on what they do. They invested millions of dollars in this kid. And if they see behaviors, you know, not conducive to being a great football player. I mean, it's not like the Browns are a brand new organization. They've been through it. They see, you know, what's good and bad for young players in the league and what they should be doing. So, you know, I think my more concern is that it made, you know, the front page of the news. I mean, if they have that conversation, it should be behind closed doors and it should never be a news piece. So yeah. How that information got out, I'm not sure. But yeah, I mean, I think obviously they can't control them, but I think that it's their place to maybe recommend to him, hey man, you know, we have a lot invested in you. You're young. We understand the partying thing, but you got to lock it up a little bit before the season because, you know, we're counting on you.
Yeah.
But that's a conversation, you know, you should have behind closed doors, and it should never make the front page of any sports website.
Yeah, I agree. I was wondering about that. Because I know he kind of reacted and saying that, you know, I'm not going to, you know, go run and hide. So I wonder if that's when it came about or if it came out and the press asked him about it. Yeah, that's good. That's a good point because you would hope almost like the Harper thing with the lineup, you would hope these kind of conversations, you know, stay...
Absolutely.
Stay shut down.
And, I mean, the Manziel just... I can't stand the kid. So,
yeah.
He just seems like a complete a-hole. But so, I mean, it's not surprising that news story popped up. But it's just amazing to me a lot of these stories. Like, you would think they would just have private conversations about this stuff.
Yeah, I think so too. I wonder if it's just, I wonder if it's just tougher and tougher for that to happen these days.
Well, yeah, because you know, you're sure Johnny spouted off to one of his friends, and someone talked to someone else, and next thing you know, it's now a deal when it should have just been a civil conversation behind closed doors.
Yeah, and I know he's not doing himself any favors. Like I know I saw one of his teammates or someone suggested have. When you go out with your buddies, have like a phone caddy where phones, when we're hanging out, phones away. None of this more, no more posting videos on Instagram and stuff like that, you know?
Yeah.
I remember reading, I think, when Derek Jeter has people over his house, it's like a basket. Everyone's got to put, you know, drop no phones, you know? Everyone's got to drop their phones in his basket and they get it back when they leave.
Yeah, I mean, it's just insane. I could imagine being a celebrity or superstar in sports nowadays, because you just like, I felt like you can't trust anybody and you can't do anything, you know?
Oh yeah, it's like, yeah, like I said, once you're in the you know, a public figure, it's just you're it's really tough to keep a low profile unless you really got to try hard to keep yourself out of the spotlight, because people are always looking to make a quick buck or get that picture that they can sell or whatever.
Yeah, like what would have happened if Babe Ruth had a camera with him, you know, when he did his partying?
Oh yeah, him, Mickey Mantle, same thing, you know. I mean, that's funny to think back then, like you know Mantle. I mean, the paper, a lot of the reporters kept that stuff out of the papers, where that wouldn't be the case today.
Absolutely.
So I thought that was interesting, but yeah, I'm kind of with you that I think. The Browns are within their rights to, you know, ask their. He said he's basically an employee, and you know, it's fair to ask him to kind of keep up with a certain code of conduct. You can have fun, but you got to just
And I totally agree with that. Absolutely, he's an extension of their brand. So, you know, if he's being out of control and ridiculous, it's their right to say, you know, up to, hey, we don't want to be associated with you. Go take a hike and find another team.
Yeah. Although I have to wonder, I mean, the Browns had to know what they were getting, right? Did they really think he was going to change just because he went pro? I can't, you know.
Yeah, I mean, that's the you know, that's the dilemma that all those owners face is,
yeah,
we know these guys are jokers or they mm-hmm. have bad history, but there's such physical freaks and talents, like, it hurts you more probably not to at least take a shot on him.
Yeah, exactly. It's like you roll, it's a dice roll. It really is when you have a guy who's kind of, you know, not a Boy Scout, but he's talented. It's like, oh, well, you know, hopefully it all pans out. So
yeah,
I can understand that line of thinking.
Well, and on the top, you know, then there's the whole angle too that you still boil it down. It's a business. And
yes.
Manziel's a huge name, and he's going to generate ticket sales and butts in the seats.
Oh yeah, I thought I heard that after the draft, when he got drafted, the Browns, like, season ticket packages they saw a big uptick.
Oh, absolutely. I wouldn't expect anything else.
Yeah. So you're right. It's definitely a business way to make a big splash and get, you know, one of the bigger names coming into the draft.
Yeah.
So, I'll definitely. I don't think he's a starter yet, but I'm sure he'll be starting soon enough. So I'll definitely be tuned in to see how that goes. And then we move on to the pop culture corner. We haven't got a chance to talk since the Game of Thrones season ended. How did you like that season finale for them? You think it was it did it meet your expectations?
I thought the whole season was fantastic. You know, I thought they did a great job of pacing it this season. And then, I thought all the way up to the end, I thought it was great. And then, of course, they leave you with, like, this huge cliffhanger at the end when you got, you know, finally some crazy fantasy elements with the fireballs or whatever the heck they were throwing in the valley. Yeah. I thought it was, other than the first season, because I loved Ned Stark's character so much, I thought it was the best season.
I thought so too. Because I know some people thought that Game of Thrones, I think it could be better served if it had a few more episodes, because some things get kind of rushed. But I thought it was fine as it was.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Yeah. Do you think the Hound is dead?
That's a great question. I think he is.
Yeah.
I mean, I think. He was pretty beat up, man.
Yeah.
I think Arya did her job, and I just don't think... I think she has another name off her list.
Yeah. I did not see that fight with him and Brienne coming. That was unbelievable.
You know? Yeah, that was pretty wild. That's what I thought was great, you know? I just think throughout the whole season, they did a really good job of pacing it, and right when you thought, you're like, oh, it's going to be boring, and they're going to explain some more story, you know, something big happened.
Big time. As far as the deaths go, will you miss him or Tywin more? First of all, I was just blown away that Tyrion put the, you know, shot him up, but we missed Tywin or the Hound more? I know those two are my favorite characters. I know...
Yeah, I really like the Hound. I think I'm gonna miss him a lot. I think I'd miss him more than anyone else.
Yeah, he was good. Yeah, I just especially watching him and Arya kind of, you know, I thought they were like a good tandem. It was fun to watch.
Yeah, I like the whole dynamic between the two.
They were good. But yeah, I'll definitely miss Tywin as well. I just thought he was just so good at, like, kind of pulling all the strings with everybody and everything. He was.
He really was. I mean, Tyrion's my favorite character, and I know he's gonna kill him eventually, and that's gonna suck. But I'm glad he kept him around for at least another season.
Yes, me too. I'm with you. I think we talked about this. We were both kind of concerned if he was gonna make it through this season after he got accused of killing Joffrey. And I was glad to see that at least he was able to escape. And looking forward to seeing, like, how that where they pick back up next season.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm with you. I thought it was. I enjoyed the season very much. yeah, the finale was really good. Yeah, a lot of things were kind of answered. Like you said, the near the end with Bran and stuff, it was good to see that have a little bit of payoff finally, the whole thing with Bran.
Yeah, because it was so damn boring for so long.
It really was.
And then finally we're like, okay, something's happening.
Yeah, so that was good, and I'm looking forward to seeing, you know, with the whole, like the guy was saying, you know, you're not going to be able to walk in, but you'll be able to fly or something like that. So that definitely, that was a good tease, I thought.
Yeah, absolutely.
So yeah, so good. Yeah, so I'm looking forward to that. And then we said we're going to talk a little about the latest Transformers movie. We kicked off our 4th of July weekend by seeing this. And I think we both walked out thinking, man, this is a really, really bad movie. So what were the killers for you as far as this viewing experience?
I think everything from beginning to end. I remember one point, the blatant Bud Light placement, like that's where at that point I almost got up and walked out of the theater. To set the scenario up, wasn't it? The Transformer hits a guy's car, the guy comes out.
Yeah.
And he's like, "Do you have insurance for that?"
Yeah.
And he goes, "Mark," that was Mark. Mark like yells at him, "No, I don't, I have this beer," and just like cracks it open and slams it in front of his face.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was like the typical, like, horrible, like, you think of those like really cheesy Japanese commercials where they put the product up front, right,
yeah,
in front of you before they use it. It was unbelievable. But the acting was horrible. I got so sick of saying, well, first of all, it was creepy that, like, the main female lead was supposed to be 17 years old.
Yeah.
And they totally used her as a sex symbol. Like,
yeah,
every time that they zoomed in on her, she was bending over in her short shorts, or there was wind blowing through her hair, and they were doing a slow pan across her face. And I was like, is this girl supposed to be 17 years old? This is kind of awkward.
Yes. Yep.
Marky Mark was horrible. just he's one of the most successful. He's like a Keanu Reeves, super successful, not the greatest actor in the world. I mean, he's had some shining moments, but a majority of his like blockbuster stuff like that is just horrible.
Yeah.
And then the story just didn't make sense. There were so many illogical moments that just like none of it made sense. The plot was horrible. Even that it was so bad, like, going into it, I thought, like, all right, well, it's free, first of all.
Yeah.
Which is nice, so I'll just go. But at least it'll look cool, and the special effects will make up for the crap. But it was so bad that didn't even make up for it, and it just was a horrible experience from beginning to end.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. It's funny. I was thinking, I was like, man, we probably could have done a whole half hour just on half hour podcast on this movie, because it was just...
Oh, my gosh. Well, another thing that blows my mind is, like, I mean, that movie had to cost hundreds of millions of dollars to make.
Yes, yep.
And the fact that you're spending that much money, and at one point throughout this entire process that you create this crap flick, did not one person say, like, hey, this isn't good.
Yeah, no.
We need to change something, or else this is just going to be a monumental bomb.
Yes. Yeah, I always wonder about that. Like, when people, like, midway through, does anyone ever say, hey, this is awful? You know, I wonder if anyone says that. Before we left, I just went on Wikipedia because I was curious how long the movie was. When I saw it was 165 minutes, I was like, whoa. I couldn't, for that was for me. I said, I can't believe this popcorn flick is, you know, almost three hours long. I was thinking to myself, it just doesn't seem like, you know, it needed to be that long. And then after, I thought, you know what, I'm gonna give benefit of the doubt. Maybe it needs to be, but no, it could have been easily 2 hours or so. I thought they just really padded the story. And the other thing that was kind of caught me off guard was the fact that there was some Kelsey Grammer and Stanley Tucci and Mark Wahlberg. They had some like decent, you know, well-known actors in this movie. And it's like, what were these guys thinking when they read the script that they would do it? You know.
Yep. Well, you know what's crazy is I just looked up on Forbes too. The Transformers has hit $575 million worldwide.
Yeah, I believe it. Yeah.
So as crappy as it is, it's still guaranteed. And maybe that's the it's just like it's gotten to the point where it's just like big business now anymore. They just don't care. They know they're going to hit their numbers.
Yep.
If they attach some superhero or some nostalgic, you know, childhood show that everybody loves and thinks is awesome, they don't really need to make. I mean, they get a couple big name actors, they write a so-so script, and that's that. They're yeah. guaranteed to make hundreds of millions of dollars.
I think so. That's why I wasn't surprised when the first movie did well, because like you said, I think we grew up watching the cartoon and the toys and stuff like that. But as they've gone on, I'm surprised that they've still continued to, you know, make money, which is just impressive. I'm, you know, because I think that, like, I thought about, like, why wouldn't people just wait to see this movie? Like, why would you pay $12 to see this bad movie? But then I thought about myself, like, I'm a huge Superman fan, so you know, even if I read the reviews, I'd still probably go and see the movie in the theater. So I guess there's enough people who just want to kind of keep, same with the Fast and the Furious franchise.
Yeah.
People just want to, you know, continue to see these movies in the theater. But yeah, you mentioned the product placement. I thought about, yeah, the Bud Light. I remember there was one scene where, like, they kept the camera on a Victoria's Secret truck for, like, a good 10, 15 seconds. It was just so blatant, you know?
Oh, absolutely. And then whenever they drove a Chevy car in, it was a ridiculous 180 spin out as they stopped, and then a zoom pan in on the logo.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
So, it's,
yeah.
like, unbelievable.
Yeah. I remember we talked beforehand. I was like, man, this is, I said, they must have paid Wahlberg a ton of money to do this. And I saw I think he got paid between like 16 and 18 million to do it. So, because I feel like he's been in some pretty good movies recently. I didn't know why he would add this to that. But when you get that kind of payday, it's tough to turn it down no matter how bad the project is, I guess.
Yeah, did you ever see the movie I really wanted to see was, he was the Marine guy in Afghanistan.
Oh, yeah, I haven't seen Lone Survivor.
Yeah, I really want to see that.
Yeah, I do.
Actually, I might watch that tonight.
Yeah. I'm looking. Yeah, I want to watch that too. I heard it was really good. So, it's funny to think that he would do something like that, and then yeah, and then follow it up with, you know, Transformers 4. You know, it's just it's hard to believe, but I think. But yeah, at least it's funny. I knew what we were getting into going to see it, but I didn't think it was going to be that bad. I guess I think I was caught off by how bad it was.
Yeah, I mean, when I've never seen a Rotten Tomatoes. Rating below 20%, but this bad boy gets an 18%.
Yep, yeah, and it's a fact. Like I couldn't imagine someone bringing a kid to that movie with it being, you know, there's no way they would have made it through. It was so long.
Yep, 18%, and it made $100 million last weekend.
Yep,
that is unbelievable.
Yeah, so I think yeah, these studios, they know, you know, they kind of know what they can get away with. And you put a big franchise, like you said, a couple big name stars, and you're good to go. So I was reading one like kind of like take on a review, and they're talking about like just how bad like the dialogue was. And I forgot about this one gem where Kelsey Grammer's, I guess his CIA guy was like, "My face is my warrant." It's like, oh man.
Jeez, oh my. Another good lord, that was just so bad. And yeah. Of course, they're gonna make multiple other ones. And
oh
it's
yeah.
Just ridiculous.
Oh yeah. So, because I think a fifth and possibly a sixth. I don't know if Wahlberg's gonna stick around for all of them, but that was a bad movie. But I was able to cleanse my palate. So I watched Rush over the weekend, which was really good. I like that.
What did you watch?
Rush, the race car movie, the Formula One with Chris Hemsworth. I think came out last year.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, so that was pretty good. I liked that one a lot. And then I watched, what was it, Jack Ryan, it was like a CIA tape movie, which was kind of like a popcorn flickish, but it was like an hour and 45 minutes. Like, see, that's how you do it, you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah, it was an entertaining movie like Transformers wanted to be, but it was an hour shorter and it was perfect. You get in, you get out, it's a, you know, fun plot, a lot of chases and stuff like that, but it was good.
Yeah.
So that's how you do a popcorn flick. So I don't think.
Yeah. I agree.
Yeah.
So there was one. There was one other thing on the pop culture corner that I wanted to review.
Sure.
Please tell me you watched the first episode of The Leftovers.
I have not. I'm looking. Tell me how. Because I've been. I heard The reviews I've seen said it's grim, but it's good. That's what I've heard. Well,
oh, dude, it's super dark.
Okay.
And it's just so weird and creepy, and you don't know what's going on.
Okay.
And I'm so excited to see what happens. It doesn't get great review. Like, it gets like moderate to okay reviews.
Okay.
So I'm interested to see, you know, how it ends up. Because a lot of these, you know, HBO series, like, you know, True Detective and stuff like that, they get really, really good reviews.
Oh, yeah.
But, like, if you look it up, they're all in, like, the low sevens, the mid 8.5, 8 out of 10s. Whereas, like, you know, the True Detective shows are getting 10s out of 10s and...
Oh, yeah.
Highly acclaimed and all of that, so... Yeah, it should be interesting, but it's super creepy, and it could go any way. It's just wild.
Okay.
Yep. So, and what excites me about it is this dude has one of the creators of Lost and the other guy that wrote it. Now, you know, they have a defined timeline, and I'm hoping it's as crazy as Lost was, but...
Yeah.
They're actually able to tie up all the loose ends this time.
Okay.
So it should be really interesting to see what happens. The next one's on tonight. I'm super excited about it. Also been watching True Blood. It's completely horrible. I actually haven't watched the last episode because I just have no desire to watch it. And now that The Leftovers is on, I just that's all I want to watch.
Okay. Yeah. I got it on demand. I'll take a look. I'm curious. I was curious about that. On the promos.
And then another one real quick that I started watching, Orphan Black, is phenomenal.
I've heard good things about that.
Two or three episodes in, and I can't wait to watch the rest of that either.
Okay. I'll check that out. Yeah, I'll check both of those out. I'm curious about both. One show I started watching was AMC has this new the show Halt and Catch Fire.
Okay, I saw that. How is it?
I thought the first episode was a little slow trying to get, like, give you an idea of who the main players were.
Mm-hmm.
But since then, it's been pretty good. Yeah, it's like 1983, like the Texas, Silicon Prairie, you know, the Texas area of the, you know, the computers and stuff like that. So it's kind of interesting.
Yeah, I think I might start recording that. It gets pretty good reviews.
Yeah, so I like that. I wasn't sure. I'll check it out. It's not, you know, summertime. It's not as much going on as far as TV, so I figure I'd give it a roll. Yeah, it's after the first episode, it's picked up. I'm enjoying it.
And did you watch Fargo?
I have not. How I know you've been watching this season. Did you wrap it up?
Phenomenal.
Yeah.
A fantastic show again, too. They kind of took the True Detective route, which, you know, getting a couple big name actors to do it. But I think it's a phenomenal show. One of the better shows that's out there right now. Although it's finished, I'd highly recommend.
Oh yeah, I'll go back and check that one out.
I think that's everything for sure. I saw the, you know, I've always been a huge FX fan.
Yeah.
Especially after Fargo finished, and they were really heavily promoting the Tyrant show.
Yes, yeah, I heard about it.
Looked interesting, but I never recorded it or followed up on it.
Yeah, I mean, I heard the reviews were kind of lukewarm, I think, on that one.
Lukewarm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm excited about this Halt and Catch Fire, because I love the Silicon Valley tech stuff.
Yeah, oh yeah.
The Silicon Valley on HBO.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
So it's funny to see kind of in the 80s where, you know, all this stuff is kind of first coming around and stuff, so...
Yeah.
It's good. Yeah, it's pretty good.
So when does Halt and Catch Fire come on? Sunday nights?
That's Sunday nights on AMC, yeah.
On AMC. Is that how long has it been on now?
I think it's about 5 or 6 weeks in.
Oh, okay.
I think it's on demand, actually.
Yeah, I'll look it on. I have DirecTV. They started doing on demand, which is nice, so... yeah, I'll start that show, too.
Cool beans. And then lastly, I thought we would see how... I want to talk to you about the beer blast. Have you enjoyed any new brews? Or if you had any... over the 4th of July weekend, if you tried anything different? Or had any suggestions coming up for the listeners?
So, of course, you know, I've drank my fair share of beer since the last time we talked.
I've noticed.
So what have I done since then? We brewed a sour beer and we put hibiscus in it, and we're gonna throw some more hibiscus 2 weeks into the fermentation process, and we're gonna let it sit for a couple months to get nice and sour and get crazy tart and funky. So I'm excited to see how that's gonna turn out, but that's not gonna be for a while. This past weekend, we went to Trogues, their brewery up in Hershey, Pennsylvania. They actually started in downtown Harrisburg, but they built this huge, gorgeous facility right near Hershey Park. And if you're ever up in that area, I totally recommend trying out Trogues. They make great beer, and more, just their facilities are mind-blowing. It's gigantic. They have this, like, these huge German hall beer style tables that are like community tables that you can sit at. They actually make some really good food, and they have this, they call it their scratch program, so they constantly are brewing a bunch of different types of beers to just test out recipes.
Sweet.
So you can always test their scratch series when they're up there, and they also have their, you know, staple year round 5 to 6 brews and their seasonal brews. But it's a really cool experience. It's a gorgeous brewery. Highly recommend that. Main beer company, I've brought them up a couple times. I just had a tiny, beautiful something. It's their American Pale Ale. It's absolutely delicious. I thought about it too because my dad's vacationing up in Maine this week.
Oh, nice.
And he just sent me a picture of a beer from there, and he said it was phenomenal. So their beer is absolutely amazing. So if you ever see anything from Maine Beer Company, real simple bottle, white, clean, velvety label. It's really cool. So yeah, that company makes some great beer. If you're into like the real fruity sweet beers, New Glarus, a brewing company out in Wisconsin, makes some really, really good fruit beers. Little brother had a bunch of those this weekend, so we went through like 4 or 5 of the flavors of the New Glarus, and they were fantastic. And then finally, there's a little brew house in Lancaster, Pennsylvania called Springhouse Brewing Company. This is the thing to do now. These breweries, they'll have bourbon barrel or barrel aged beers is like the thing to do now. It's kind of like a special release.
Sure.
But they're kind of catching on to what the wine world does, and they'll have like exclusive reserve clubs. So like the first 200 people to sign up have guaranteed access to like, you know, the 12 or, you know, they'll say 8 to 10 barrel aged beers they're going to release this year. You're guaranteed a bottle. And then to buy another one, and then the rest is open to public usually. And then there's a couple that are exclusively made for you, and no one else is going to get them. But,
oh, wow.
You know, it's like $200 to sign up for the year, and
sure,
that gives you the right to a couple bottles, and then a right to buy some really exclusive beers first. So he's a part of their reserve series, and we just sampled last night. They made a Imperial Double Stout aged in bourbon barrels with cocoa nibs and vanilla beans. I mean, it's kind of like a generic recipe for bourbon barrel. If you want to make a chocolate stout, a lot of breweries have done it. Black Ops comes to mind from Brooklyn Brewery. It's kind of their similar type beer. But for being such a small brew pub and not having a really big name, it was delicious. It's called Kerplunk, so it was really, really good. We had that last night while we were watching the UFC fight, so that was a nice little treat while
sure.
watching the fight. But yeah, that's kind of what I've been up to in the beer world since the last time we talked. So, like I said, any of those breweries, make sure to check them out, drink some beer, and you should be able, if you got a local craft brew store, you should be able to find Maine Beer Company or Trogues easily. You're not going to get Springhouse unless you're in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. So if you ever go to up there, highly recommend stopping that brew pub in town.
Absolutely. Sounds like that's a good suggestion. Good stuff.
Yeah, man. So it's been real.
I'd say so. Yeah, glad we're able to get on the horn and get ready to close out the holiday weekend.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so as always, we thank everyone for listening. You know, hit us up on Twitter at the GD Podcast. Question or comment, hit us up at the GD Podcast at gmail.com. For Mike Grant, I'm Joe Dighton. Thank you for listening, and we will talk to you next time.